Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Here's what the Spirit of God is saying. Answers. Answers that come by following me. Answers that come by yielding to me. Answers that come from my wisdom and my spirit. Answers. A world of questions, a God of answers. Circumstances that produce questions. Circumstances that produce empty spots. But you know a God, you serve a God who fills them and brings the longing of the heart to pass. So open your heart to the one who abides on the inside of you. Yield to that wisdom on the inside of you. Yield to it in purpose. Yield to it in pursuit. And you'll see wisdom come forth in you and bring answers where there were only questions, and bring solutions where there were only problems, and bring help where there was helplessness. Because greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's just lift our hands and thank Him that we can walk in the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ made to you, the Scripture said, wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, and redemption. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We worship you. Oh, Lord, we worship you. Great is your faithfulness. Wow. It's so awesome to be in His presence, isn't it? You can be seated. It is so good to worship Him. Worship team, y'all are such a blessing. Would you thank them? Aren't they a blessing? Well, it's an awesome thing just to come into the presence of God like that. And just before we get, just turn to Proverbs 3. This just kept coming up in my heart right along this line of answers. But, you know, as I said before, and I'm not elevating you above anybody else in our church, but you know as well as I that typically those who come on Wednesday night, you know that they typically have a greater depth spiritually in their life sometimes and a greater hunger. I'm not saying other people aren't hungry. I'm just saying that, you know, to get here on Wednesday night, you're doing that really on purpose. Anybody had some other things going on today? All right, so I mean, now the reason I say that and I preface that with this is that I want to say this to you. There are things that we've laid out that I've been talking to you about on weekends. The growth track, the launch of small groups this fall. And that's going to necessitate that we have some changes in some of the things that we've done, and some of them we've done for years. And so what I want you to help me to do is to pray. Because, you know, everybody says, I'm fine with change until it happens. And we're just creatures of habit. It's just who we are. And I'll tell you this, just my own navigating through change, things that God, you know, I know was really dealing with us about, but I did, to be really honest, I just, well, I no, not that. And I just wouldn't even almost put it on, no, not almost, I just wouldn't lay some things on the table because I thought, well, no, not that. And you know what? Some of the that's that I thought were, they're there. But I found something about following God is that we want to follow Him. And yet I know this, is that there's a helper on the inside of us. And it's not just people struggling with change. It's embracing the change so that what we're attempting and endeavoring to do will find its full benefit in the lives of people. So would you, in your private time when you pray, just be praying along that line. If you're filled with the Spirit, ideally pray in the Spirit about it. And next Wednesday night, I'm going to let you know some of those more specifically, and I'll probably talk to you all a couple Wednesdays and just let you know some of those things, and then we'll let the folks on the weekend know. But I want you to help me help them with first an understanding, but more importantly than that, to pray some things out for us, okay? So would you just commit as you in your time of prayer just to lift those things that God's led us to do up so that they reach their full benefit to the people of God. Amen. Would you do that? Thank you. I sure appreciate it. Proverbs chapter 3 kept coming up in my heart, answers. And Proverbs 3 keeps coming in my heart. You know, we live in a world full of questions. I mean, and there's a lot of questions. I mean, we live in a world of information, but with few answers. You think about how much information exists in our culture today. It's the information age. I mean, you can, right now while I'm talking to you, most of us have the capability right now to Google stuff. I mean, it's insane the amount of information. Yet in this glut of information, people don't have wisdom. And there's a difference between having knowledge and information and having wisdom. It's one thing to be married. It's another thing to have a good marriage. You know, it's one thing to have kids. It's another thing to be a parent. And if you're going to do a couple things in life well, marriage and parenting, you're going to need you some wisdom from Jesus. Anybody married? Anybody married to somebody unlike themselves? All right, because that's what you typically do, because men and women are different. Now, I know our culture are trying to redefine. You talk about a culture gone crazy, trying to redefine everything. Everything. And I'm not saying that to put anybody down. It's just we live in a world that upside down is right side up and right side up is upside down. Darkness is light and light is darkness. So, to the point to where if you hold values that agree with God, you're actually going to be considered a bigot. But, you know, it won't be the first time in history where cultures have done that. I read a quote. I don't know if it's truly a quote attributed to Billy Graham, but it appears to be. And I say that cautiously because, you know, just because you see something online doesn't necessarily be the case. But it's attributed to him to say that in our American culture, we're concerned about offending everybody except God. But he's the one when you finally stop breathing, you're going to have to talk to. And all of the nonsense and all of the pride and all of the humans just boasting of words that will come and will go, they're going to die and stand before a living God. And our job is not to criticize or hurt those people or put them down. Our job is to go win them. Because it'd be a whole lot better to get wisdom on this side of heaven. Because, by the way, you won't need it in heaven. People say, well, we'll have the victory in heaven. You won't need any victory in heaven. There's no enemy. Aren't you glad? Amen. The enemy's on this side. Aren't you glad we have victory in him? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. This is so important for all of us, particularly our kids, in this crazy culture. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. We're talking about answers tonight. Now, this is right along with what the Spirit of God said in the beginning. Now, I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord all the time, but I'm telling you, these are things coming up out of my spirit that I believe are going to bring some help to all of us. Notice he said this. He said, starts by saying, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. Now look what's on the other side of that. For length of days, that means long life, and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now notice these are willful things we're called to do. He said, you choose not to forget my law. You choose to keep my commands. You bind mercy and truth around you like you tie something around your neck. Now, the outcome, he said, would be length of days, peace, that you would find favor in the sight of God and man. And yet, if you look right on the other side of ignoring the law of God, you see just the opposite happening in people's lives. Again, we live in an information-rich world and a wisdom-poor world, where people are so, and you know, we can't ignore what's happening in the culture, but I always want to caution that what I'm about to talk about is not putting people down. You know, if people don't know Jesus, they're going to have attitudes and beliefs that are contrary to righteousness. That ought not to surprise us. And it's not my job to criticize them or put them down or to make them feel bad about their opinions, but it's my job and your job to go win them to Christ. You want to change someone's opinion, get them out of the dark. You want to change somebody's life, get them out of darkness into light. And yet, if we look, we live in this culture where, I mean, people are boasting about their views. Everything from same-sex marriage to just where virtually anything sexually is all right. And I'm fully persuaded in the next 20 years that is the way the culture is going. Pedophilia is not far behind. Because I'm telling guys, we are not far away from the point of absolute no judgment on anything. Where people are going to say, look, I'm born that way. And how can you judge me for that? There are lobby groups right now trying to lower the consent age from men having sex with little boys from down to they're trying to lower the age. They're lobbying Congress for it. Have you know how dark that is? Now, I'm not saying that even to put in. All I'm saying is that the culture we live in, people are dying as a result of living outside of the law of God. You know, people will talk about Christians being narrow-minded, right-wing bigots, whatever. And I'm not saying that there aren't Christians that have been that have been against people. Jeez, you know, God never called us to change people. Do you know He never called us to change people? He called us to love the world, not change the world. You go reach them and love them. Let Jesus change people. How many of you know you weren't changing yourself? Like the Bible said, can a leopard change his spots? How many of you know what dogs do? They bark. You know why they bark? Because they're dogs. Cats meow. I think snakes hiss. At least we always taught our kids. They went, I don't know if they do. I've never listened to one. I hate snakes. And there's endangered snakes in Cranberry Township. They shut down a road for it. I promise you, if it comes in my yard, that rascal's getting more endangered. So that's against the law. Put me in prison. I'm killing any snake in my yard. Well, what if they eat insects or rodents? I don't care. They come in my yard. I'm killing the snake. I hate the snake. Dogs make barks and cats meow and cows moo and sinners sin. People away from God have views that oppose righteousness. And they'll hold on to those right in if they're not reached by the goodness, grace, and mercy of God in the gospel, they'll hold on to them right to hell. Not only that, they'll hold on to them while it kills them. I mean, just look at our culture. How many people have died this year due to just alcohol and the misuse of it? How many? Think about it. I mean, not 100 or two. We're talking could fill stadiums of people's lives that have been cut short because of alcoholism and drinking and driving and drug addiction and all the harmful things because people have not learned to live in the light of the grace of God and the goodness of God, so they end up being consumed. And they'll fight for the right. People's messed up in their hetero and homosexuality, sinful behavior in those regards, not just those that are quote homosexuals, but heterosexual sin. People are dying. I mean, just you know, statistically, the population of Spain has died in the last 20 years due to sexual sin. That's real stuff. And the Bible is clearly showing you that on the other side of obeying me, there's benefit. And you think all that out there. Do you know that the city of Baltimore has one of the, this according to the Centers for Disease Control, has one of the highest rates of HIV among gay men? And I've talked to people who battle homosexuality or have adopted it or who have embraced their whatever the terms people use. And I've asked them, do you know anything about what's going on in Baltimore? No, I've not met one person that knew that statistic. Why not? Because it's attaching a behavior to an outcome. Don't tell me you care about people. That's somebody's son, somebody's daughter, living in the city of Baltimore at the greatest risk in our nation of contracting a disease that can kill them, and it's not even publicized. But we know how to sneeze. So the world's nuts. So don't get around this long enough to where, because you get around the crazy long enough, you start to think, well, you know, I guess they aren't, everybody can't be crazy. Yeah, they can. This world's nuts on steroids. Just because someone sits in front of a camera and talks long enough, you can be stupid on TV. Because think of it this way. Think of all the babble of whoever and whatever, and think of it before God, and now think of it. It's nonsense. I'm persuaded they'd hear the same thing Job heard. Where were you when I put the stars in the sky? Where were you when I flung the moon where it was, and the sun, and made the earth? Guys, answers don't come from the world system. And there's some serious problems. And I always hesitate to talk about those other issues because you can... Can I tell you something in this room tonight? I promise you there are people that struggle with their sexuality. Here? On a Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday night. And if all you ever think is that when you hear that subject that God's against you... No. We're talking about answers. There's answers in God. I don't care what you're battling. I don't care why you're battling it. And how you got there. There are answers for you. I didn't say it's always simple. But that's why he said, guys, he said, my son, don't forget my law. Let your heart keep my commands. There's length of days and long life to them. They'll add peace to you. Let mercy, he said, don't let mercy and truth forsake you. Everybody say mercy and truth. Well, I was thinking we were going to get a whole lot further in Proverbs 3. I don't think we are. Then everybody say mercy. Now say truth. That's a two-edged sword that every Christian should understand. You can't just talk about mercy. And then right on the other side, you can't just talk about truth. Truth is just, it is what it is. Here's truth. It is a sin to have a homosexual relationship, period. That's just truth. Well, that's bigoted. Talk to God about it. I'm sorry. It's just true. Now, you could just take the truth of that and you can obliterate any person in that battle. Because I can tell you about people in that battle. A lot of them didn't get in that battle of their own choosing. See, what do you mean? Guys, people have stuff. And let me say it this way. We have stuff. And just because theirs is of this nature, there's still answers for people. I said there's still answers for people. But right on the other side, he said, don't just bind truth about you. Bind mercy. How many of you are glad Jesus came and showed us mercy? You want to know what truth was? We're all going to hell. He doesn't come. We all go to hell. I don't care what you do. Listen, somebody's sin is... Listen, guys, all of us without Jesus are hellbound. But he came and showed mercy. And so on one side of the coin, you can't push away from truth. But then right on that other side of the coin, you've got to hold on to the mercy of God. What's mercy? God's willingness to treat you better than you deserve. So what's that mean? That you don't have the right, and I don't have the right, to point my finger at somebody that God's trying to help and put them on my clock and judge sins and say, well, this one I can tolerate because I understand that one, and this one I can't. It is my hope, and particularly in the world that we're living in today, that is so many precious people are struggling with these issues, that they can come among God's people and get help on God's clock. You know, I've, in all the years of ministry, I've only had two death threats, which is two more than I wanted. And you know, it was about this very issue. And that when we used to go on, we were on television here locally years ago, and I talked about this issue and talked about, and I gave this analogy. If you're trying to help a person who's struggling with alcoholism, and that person calls you at 3 a.m. and they've been walking with God, but now they fall off the wagon. It's 3 a.m. You get a phone call and they say, I'm just drunk out of my mind, or I've done drugs and I'm messed up. Would you come help me and come get me? And does God still love me? You know, I don't know of many Christians that wouldn't say, you know what? I'll come and help you and restore you. But then I asked this question. What if it was a young man who was fighting through the issues of homosexuality? And he was doing his best to walk with God, and then he got caught up in some stuff, and he made some bad decisions, and he finds himself at 2 a.m. in a gay bar and has sex with some guy in a bathroom, and then he calls you. And he's crying, and he said, oh my God, could God help me? Is he going to get the same response as the guy that got drunk or stoned? He better. But he doesn't. And that's when we miss the fact of, and we're talking about answers. You don't get answers by just saying that's the truth. Truth sent me to hell. I was without Christ, dead in my sin and trespass. That's the truth. Yet God, who's rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, sent Christ to die for the ungodly. And so we don't approach the culture with just truth. We approach issues with truth and mercy. He said, bind them about your neck. Don't just, because guys, if let's just be really, really plain about it. If every one of our lives tonight were open bare to, in front of, if our lives were a television screen, you could see inside of every one of our lives, every bit of it. We'd all be wanting to turn off the TV. Wouldn't you? Come on, couldn't you be honest? Well, if we're going to say just truth, then we'd have to say every one of us would come under judgment. And yet, do you know how you'll find God working in someone's life? And you know what he'll be dealing with them about? Maybe something that is 10 times less serious than the 5 things you think they should be dealing with. But do you know why God's trying to deal with them in that area? Because that's the key to help them. And it may not be the one that makes you feel good about them, but it's the one that God knows will help them. That'll get them from this key to that step to get them on the way to victory because he loves them and he's merciful. So now, of course, there's the other side. If all you do is mercy and you don't tell the truth and you don't produce truth, now you just say to people, well, God's merciful. Just jump off the cliff. You'll be fine. No, you won't. You'll smash on the ground like a bug stepping on a bug. You'll be graveyard dead. And so answers are available, but in this context. Sure, truth will give you the answers. But let me tell you, mercy will get truth to work through your life. Oh, the mercy of God. Don't be so hard on yourself. The more you have a passion to love God, the harder you tend to be on yourself. And we end up actually backing ourselves out of our help. Because we can be so hard on ourselves. I should do this better, and I should have done that better, and I wish I'd, and oh God, forgive me. And before long, all you'll do is take truth and use it like a weapon against you. But I'm so glad Jesus came because God was rich in mercy. Sure, God's truth. But truth isn't what sent God, Jesus, to die for me. Mercy did. So let's go on reading here. In verse 5. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. And look at this. And lean not on your own understanding. We're talking about answers. What's he saying? When it comes to getting answers from my life and your life, we're all going to be tempted to go to our own understanding, our own perspective, our own resource, our own pool. He said, if you're going to get answers from God, if you're going to experience the fullness of his mercy, grace, and truth, you're going to have to get out of that pool of your own understanding. You're going to have to not lean on it. In other words, you can't rest your weight on your own understanding. And then he goes on to say this, and in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct your paths. Then he said this, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Is that the next verse?
Yeah.
Okay. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Notice what he said. Don't lean on your own understanding. How many of your ways acknowledge him? All of them. See, and we, Lord, I acknowledge you in all my ways. It is our human nature to go into the pool of our own understanding and lean on it and try to figure it out. Now, we men are probably worse than women at it. That's why we won't get directions. I don't know why it is. Michelle will be going somewhere, and I said, well, this is, you know, maybe we don't have the address now. Thank God for GPS. Saves my life. Now I can ask for, and I got to tell you, I just got to tell you, that GPS lady's nice to me. I missed the turn. She says, turn around, please. Very nice lady. But anyway, all of us, as we seek the direction of God in our life, as we seek to pursue his plan for our life, It's critical that we don't put weight on our own understanding, that we learn how to follow Him. Men, we are the worst at it. We have a tendency to want to try to figure it out, try to want to use our own resources. I know for years I have a little bit of information that God, I think, put in my heart, and I'll build a whole case. Instead of just waiting and saying, Lord, I just have a piece of that, but I don't know. And you end up actually precluding yourself from getting information because you draw from your own understanding and you make conclusions. Let me say this is what keeps coming up in my heart. As a Christian, live with the punctuation mark of a comma, not a period. A period, when we lived overseas, they would use the word period was, they would, instead of calling it a period in a sentence, they called it full stop. Stop. A comma means slow down and continue. We should always be living in our walk with God and in our daily lives with this. It's a comma. Because I see through a glass darkly, then face to face. We're talking about answers. I see through a mirror dimly lit. Then when I see Him, it'll be face to face, fully bright. And so anything I know, the Bible said, I know in part. Anything I'm speaking, He said literally prophesying or speaking by inspiration, I'm only doing that in part. So anything I think I know, I only know part of it. People have said to me, well, I don't know that I agree with all of your doctrine. I said, well, I don't blame you. I don't agree with all my doctrine. So, well, then why do you teach it? Because I don't know everything. I only know in part. Now, there's areas I think I have more light than in other areas of my understanding. But even where I have greater light, it's still dark. Because when you're going to compare it to, remember, we're talking about answers. If we're going to get answers, and I'm talking about from Him, we've got to make the decision that we don't operate with periods, full stop. We operate with a comma. Okay, I see this a little bit. I'm going to slow down, then I'm going to continue, and I'm going to stay humble. So, Lord, I don't know. And so when you wait on God that way, you'll get more information. You'll get more clarity. You'll have people say things to you that will just seem to just almost like a... the payphones aren't used anymore. How many of you remember payphones? And you drop that coin in and you'd hear it go and hit the bottom. When direction, boy, I mean, when you get something from God, it feels like that. And then it pops in the bottom and it's like, oh, that's it. Even then you still need more light. But sometimes you'll just go on and then you come into those moments of clarity and answers that come. Look what he goes on saying. Again, verse 7, we'll read again. So don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. You want answers for your money? Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruit of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, your vats overflow with new wine. That's money answers. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. How many of you love your children? Correct them. Verse 13, now look at this. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds. Now, what kind of wisdom is this? It's not the wisdom of men, it's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the ability to live today without decisions that will produce regret tomorrow. You know the old saying, too soon old, too late smart. We don't need to go back in time. We need wisdom in the present. And there's been times in my life when I look back where the wisdom of God showed up and I navigated through things by the wisdom of God. And you come on the other side of it unscathed and God led you and you're just, oh. And then there have been times I've been wise in my own eyes. Anybody ever done that? Oh, man. And oh, how, the price you pay. Now, here's where truth will mess you up. All right, you made your bed hard, now lie in it. That's what people say. You made your bed hard, now sowing and reaping, buddy. You've sown it, you reap it. Is that truth? Yep. But aren't you glad? The Bible says mercy boasts against judgment.
Aren't you glad
that when there's that sowing and reaping happening and you messing stuff up and you got wires in your own eyes and you made a mess of your life or a circumstance in your life, that God's not finished with you? He's full of mercy. That means He'll come into your mess and treat you better than you deserve. He'll come into your mess and He'll bring restoration. He'll come into your mess and He will fix you and help you if you stay humble. But if you buckle up and dig in, I don't know why anybody want to dig in trouble. People in trouble, they dig in. They want to hold. I'm going to hold on to this. What's killing you? Yeah, but I'm dead right. You're still dead. And so I want to encourage you tonight. Listen to what he said here. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man that gains understanding. Now listen to this. Her proceeds, the proceeds of wisdom, are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all things you may desire cannot be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, that's in wisdom, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Now, we're talking about answers. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Happy are all who retain her. So the choice isn't up to God, is it? It's up to us. But in the place of humility and not leaning to your own understanding, and it is a place of humility. And I'd love to say through the years I've walked in that kind of humility. I haven't. I remember when we were, this is a while back, when we were in the beginning part of the process to, it was about the financing and all that issue going out over this new building when the banks collapsed. And we were on vacation, and instead of being on vacation, we were at the beach. I'm sitting on the beach, striving over the issue, making 13 phone calls, trying to fix something. And finally, Michelle just said to me, you know, honey, you're pushing. Why are you doing that? And because I'm a man and we can be stupid, I just said, because, look, honey, I just need to do this. She said, well, how's that working for you, so to speak, you know? And it wasn't. And, you know, all of my working and all of my striving, all it did was just get me tangled up inside, and nothing moved. And in essence, what she was saying, why don't you just back off of this and just rest in God? I mean, you're not going to change all this. Just why don't you just wait on God? That was really good advice. I wish I'd have taken it. You remember? I remember right where, I don't know what beach we were at, but all I know is, where was it? We were in Panama City. I remember she just leaned over and said, this isn't working what you're doing. You're tied up in 30 different knots. And you know, had I just as I think back, and I remember that because it ruined my day. And probably part of hers. But had I just said, you know what, you're right. Lord, I cast this over on you. I'm not God, you are. I'll just put this in your hands. If there's something I can do, I'll do it. But you know what? I'm going to go just enjoy my life. You know, because at the end of the day, all that striving, you know all it did? Nothing. Didn't do a thing. Figuring this out and calling this one and checking with this one. Because, you know, look, to be really candid, you know, when people come and lie to you, it ticks you off. When you talk to somebody in a banking industry and they come in, they bring 17 people with suits, and they come in the room, you were in the room, and they tell you all this, this is fine, this is fine, and you come back and none of it's fine, you just get the little twitch, you know? And you start to lean to your own understanding, and this isn't fair, and the inequity of it all, and before long, you're so tied up and not, you've pushed away from the wisdom of God. So I want to encourage you tonight, no matter where you find yourself, trust Him with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. It may not be in the timing you want. I don't know if any of y'all like me. I get in a hurry sometimes. I'm really fortunate that, you know, Michelle and I kind of balance each other out. She's normal and I'm crazy. But many times through the years, just in... And I have learned as I've gotten older to listen. And not all the time, but I do. And the more humble you can become and the more dependent you can become on Him. You know what else it opens your ears to is the wisdom of others. And you start to hear things you didn't used to hear before. And because you get uptight, it's almost like you just close yourself off to the answers God has for you. Sometimes that answer might be sitting right beside you on the beach. And when you just learn to yield and relax and rest in Him. Because what He's really talking about is not striving. Is resting in Him. Putting all of your weight on Him. Because He cares for you. And then I'll close with this scripture. In Corinthians it says, "And Jesus has been made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Jesus has been made to you wisdom. So in Him you have wisdom right now. Resident in you, in Christ, is wisdom personified in the person of the Son of God. Someone said, "Well, you know, I wish I had the wisdom of Solomon." I'll do that one. You've got the wisdom. You've got Christ in you, who has been made unto you wisdom. See, Solomon had wisdom from God. You have the wisdom of God in you in the person of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a tremendous resource to be able to tap into. Amen? I know tonight was just a little bit scattered, but I just so sense in my heart, and this is, I'm sure, for all of us, but there are some people in this room right now that, I mean, it's just going, and you just, listen to what God's saying by His Spirit. I'm telling you, 99% of this was for you, and the rest of us just got the overflow. God's moving to help you. Relax, trust Him, rest in Him, let Him bring it to pass. And what He doesn't show you, rest. What you don't see, don't make decisions, just wait. And wait for that clarity and then act. And trust Him with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Let me pray for all of us, particularly those of you who may be here tonight in a valley of decision that's causing you great distress. Lord, I thank You for helping us tonight. I pray these words have found a lodging place in all of our hearts. But particularly, Lord, for those here tonight that I know You dealt with me about before we ever started this service about answers. This afternoon You spoke to my heart about it. Answers, answers, answers. Maybe not the ones we want. Maybe not the ones we can even see, but the ones You bring are peaceable and easy to be entreated. That's the wisdom of our God. But Your word declares the wisdom of this world is sensual and devilish. And it's destructive. Lord, help us not to yield to the wisdom of man, the wisdom of this world, but help us to lean to the greater one on the inside of us who's made to us wisdom. So Lord, I pray first a peace that comes by this simple decision, that it just enraptures every heart here tonight. Supernatural peace by Your presence. Lord, there's some in this room, they've not felt Your presence in so long. Manifest Yourself in this room tonight. Manifest Your glory upon them now. Let Your glory fall on them and comfort them and surround them with Your presence. I just thank You for that. Thank You. Just receive that. Thank You, Father. Just receive it. We worship You. Oh, we worship You. Just receive of His presence. He's so wonderful. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here tonight, you've never given your life to Christ, we never take that for granted. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you've never done that, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud together with you. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, say, "Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? I'll pray for you right where you're seated." Just simply raise your hand right where you're at and I'll pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just want to make certain we never take this for granted. Praise God. I'll take it. Everybody knows Jesus. And I pray that that as we were just led tonight, I pray it's been a help to you. I know God's word's helped me, so amen. Steve?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.